Oi, oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, my good friend, South Stand's chum, the bearded legend, Detroit Tigers t-shirt wearing, Mr. Paul Levy.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 95, and finally, there's been some good news to talk about, which we'll be coming to later on in the show. Since episode 94, there's been a lot that's been going on, and obviously it wouldn't be a week's roundup without some sort of drama, so without further ado, let's crack on.
So supporters club updates, there's only four supporters club journeys left this season, which is crazy really. So first of all, Newport, massive match, Saturday 4th of March, coaches depart at 8:30 in the morning, it's £27 and £24 for concessions. Then another massive match towards the bottom of the table, Accrington away, Tuesday the 14th of March, coaches depart at 1pm, £30 and £27 for concessions. Then Luton on Friday the 14th of April, which I believe is Good Friday, coaches depart at 12 noon and it's £20 and £17 concessions. And then the big staying up party, hopefully, Blackpool, hopefully, Saturday 6th of May, coaches depart at 8am, £30 and £27 sorry, for concessions with a £3 surcharge to non-members. You can book by either going into the supporters club before a match or by calling the travel line on 07722 135 970. I know that number now, like, off by heart. That on my wife's number and my work number. Those three numbers that I know.
So the Leighton Orient Trust have sent us an update as well. It says, huge thanks to Sam Sargent and Aaron Pollock for popping into the Score Centre on Thursday and joining in with the activities with the young people, taking part in Theo's football fun sessions. The players also answered questions and signed autographs, with lead Trust coach James Court stating, the guys were absolutely first class and a credit to themselves and the club.
Yep, and then on the same afternoon, Gavin Massey was at the stadium to meet Averley Youth FC and hand them their brand new kit and training equipment thanks to sponsors Wix as part of the EFL Kits for Kids grassroots competition.
Fantastic. On Friday morning, 23 O's fans, young and old, met kitman Ada Martin and assistant groundsman Joe Newton as they travelled around the stadium as part of the popular stadium tours conducted by Howard Gould. Next date proposed for some time during the Easter holidays, so keep an eye out for an announcement a little bit nearer the time. They always get sold out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or like always banged out.
And we'll hopefully get the exclusive on that as we did with the last one. So, and finally from the Trust, they said it was great to have been contacted by XO Lee Shearer, who was back at Brisbane Road on Saturday for the first time in 15 years. I remember going to Fulham away with you to Craven Cottage. We must have been 15 or 16.
We stood behind the goal.
And Lee Shearer scored a header and we lost 2-1. I remember that.
We lost 2-1, I remember. I don't remember who scored it though.
Lee Shearer's header. Good so knowledge. Well done, Lee. Great header. So Lee now coaches Ashford Youth in Kent and brought his under-8s to watch the O's as well as take penalties at half-time. Lee scored the first goal when the O's beat Wales in the prestigious friendly in 1996. And said he hopes it won't be as long before he returns again. So that was the update from the Trust. Always great work by Neil, Howard, James and the team, and fair play, and loads of activity going on in this half-term period.
Absolutely. Next up, we saw a good tweet from our friend George Sessions, who tweeted this about our last episode. He said, top work again by the Orient Outlook lads. Pleased to hear more positive views after the Yeovil match. Plenty of time to save the season. I also think O's recent strong end to games is in complete contrast to earlier in the season when they looked unfit at times. Since Michael Omoa, the fitness coach from the youth team, has been promoted by Webb, Orient's fitness appears to have improved. Now, I've got to say, I called that right at the beginning of the season, probably in episode in August.
Sometime. So you thought they looked unfit?
They looked awful, yeah. None of them looked any good, and you think that with the pedigree that Simone Lucchetti or whatever his name is why were they so poor? You know, loads of injuries. Now we've got injuries that are based on not sort of fitness issues. They're basically, you know, Tom Parks, for example, with his hip and other bits, but not so much.
Well, great spot there by George. Since Danny has started, we've scored a lot more late goals and seem not to be as tired towards the end of the matches, as evident in matches that we'll talk about.
If you're fitter towards the end of the games, your concentration levels are still there.
Absolutely.
Whereas others are tiring. So fair play.
It's a great
and
spot
a good spot
there.
By George. Yeah, well done.
So the week that was then, Monday the 13th of February, Danny Webb spoke to George Sessions about his decision to leave Victor Adebayejo out of the squad on Saturday in the last match versus Yeovil, and he said, I had a good chat with Victor and left Sam on the bench because sometimes I like to change it and have somebody who can play behind the front too. Sam does that better than Victor. But at the same time, on another day, I may have included Victor, because in an ideal world with youngsters, you dip them in and then you can take them out. Victor and Sam were two of my only options the other night against Morecambe, and we went with them and they did ever so well. It's nothing Victor did wrong, it's just Macca is ahead of him at the moment. You know, again, great talking, great vocab from Danny Webb there. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he does talk a lot of sense, to be fair. Really like what he has to say. Next up on Monday, Alex Chisak. White wins the club's sponsors player of the month for January. Well done, Alex. And, you know, no irony lost on any Leighton Orient fan there. So, but fair play.
A bit ironic, that one. And it'd be interesting to see who wins February.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but it should be Gavin Massey. It should be Gavin Massey. But, you know, it's an open vote. Anyone can win it from the squad. So hopefully Massey win that. And then on Monday night at 8 p.m, local radio station, Time 107.5, I think they're Romford based,
yeah,
had a show about Orion, and they had Jim Nichols on, who's editor of Orienteer. They had Jonathan from Loft, John Sitton on, Lockie, Dean Cox, Matt Porter and Martin Ling. So you listened to it?
Yeah, I listened back to it. Reasonably interesting, to be fair. Dean Cox came on the phone. He really sounded quite sad, actually, although he does believe that we'll avoid relegation. He thinks we've got enough about us, which is great. Matt Porter was speaking. It's always interesting to hear Matt Porter speak, because he speaks from, you know, like a real strong position, yeah, and he's great. He was really bluntly honest and said, look, there's no room for sentiment now. The club are in trouble. We're fighting for our lives, yeah, and we've got to, you know, we've all got to pull together, really. Martin Ling commented that the situation really is quite a sad failure, and he also made quite a good point that in any other industry, you'd probably be struck off for this level of mass mismanagement. So,
not if you own a company, though, I guess, but
any regulated industry you would be, but the FA don't seem to want to be interested.
So Tuesday, 14th of February, so happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. Me and Paul had a fantastic evening.
Yeah, candlelit dinner for two.
So before the Plymouth match, Evening Standard published a short article on the current situation at Orient. So one paragraph that we've picked out said, spirits are low among senior players who are worried about the lack of strength in depth of the squad. A number of them are out of contract in May, and it's thought most are keen to leave. There is concern amongst them about the attitude and stomach for the fight for some of their teammates.
Yeah, no sources are quoted in that, so bit of a nothing article in my opinion, but it did also go on to say that Bichetti's unwilling to sell for less than $4 million as he tries to get his money back. But again, there's no foundation for that poorly written article. There's no one's quoted in it. Bichetti's never said he wants $4 million, so how does Tom Colomossi actually want to come up with these numbers? So essentially, a bit of a nothing article. Well, didn't really see the point of him.
Well, to us, writing, you know, to be honest, as far as we know, Bichetti only communicates with two people, and that's Vito and Alessandro, and they weren't quoted in the article. So unless the journalist has spoken to one of those two, which he hasn't, I don't think you can really take too much from that. But good to see again main media outlets picking up on Orion at the moment. Obviously Standard, The Sun done a few weeks ago on our article with Jay Simpson, so good to see. So Plymouth away on Valentine's evening, team was announced. Sergeant in goal, back four of Judd, Hunt, Parks and Kennedy, midfield of Chroma, Collins, Kelly and Semedo, and up front Massey and Dolby. Substitutes Granger, Clark, Mezigay, Moncur, Alzate, Lee Bird and Adebayejo.
Three changes for Yeovil as Callum Kennedy, Josh Caroma and Sam Dolby come in for Ivan Errico, Nigel Atangana and Paul McCallum, unfortunately, all suffered knocks at the weekend. Sammy Moore, unfortunately, was still out through illness, and there was no Alex Chisak. I thought, from my point of view, very young side, but, you know, really what choice do we have? As Danny said, you know, we are down to bare bones, but let's hope with Liam Kelly back, we can get something from this game, obviously writing it before the game. Shame about McCallum being injured. I think he was probably rushed back against Yeovil, probably a bit too quick.
For me, it wasn't the team I envisaged, as Paul McCallum was missing, but right formation, decent defence, and Massey up front, which was the right call, and a very young bench. So glad to say that we're joined on the line now by Matt Bristow. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, lads. You all right?
Yeah, good. You?
Yeah, very good.
Good stuff. Thanks for joining us. What were your thoughts on the team?
I mean, going into the game, I was playing... devil's advocate, because I obviously thought the Notts County game was the more important game of the week. I mean, you would get a good point at Yeovil, but what teams are you going to pick? I didn't think you'd start. I thought Lyburn out was a good move. and with McCallum out, you'd play Dalby in there. And I thought the team pretty much picked itself, really.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. We're in that situation where it does, yeah.
So Sam Needham underscore one, so Caroma and Judd work well together against the Oval. Dalby could be in for a long night, though, if he doesn't get service. Yeah. It's a good tweet. So the Oaks started in a 4-4-2 formation with Massey playing up front with Sam Dalby. And after an even start that saw shots from both teams, Plymouth took the lead in the 10th minute as Antoni Sarcevic poked in from close range. So disappointing to go 1-0 down so early, Matt.
Yeah, well, I mean, we started all right. We had a couple of little pop shots, but you could see Plymouth were losing a bit of confidence passing the ball around the midfield. And the goal, I don't think anyone closed down on our sort of right hand side, and the ball's whipped into, I think, to forward Taylor. And from behind the goal, it looked like he was climbing all over Tom Parks, but it wasn't given. He hit it back to the midfielder who makes a late run into the box, and he stabs home. So.
And then previously, I guess heads would have gone down. We would have crumbled. So after going one down, how did we respond? I mean, obviously Danny Webb's built up a great spirit, and we seem like a revitalised team.
I mean, we always had that attacking threat with Massey in attack. But I mean, as the half progressed, Plymouth were growing into the game and were passing the ball around really nicely. I mean, it was, I wouldn't say we were defending against the wall, but Plymouth had a lot of possession and were looking confident playing the ball around, but they just couldn't score the second goal. They had a couple of chances in there. I think Sonogo hit one over the bar from a corner.
Yeah, we got that, yeah, 22nd minute, that one.
Yeah, and then just a couple of minutes after that effort, Josh Caroma takes a beautiful touch to Dalby, who had a shot tipped over the bar.
Yeah, I mean, Caroma deserved his start at Plymouth because he played really well at Yeovil, and he sort of continued in the same vein. He was linking up well with Dalby, and was probably linked up several times in the youth team before, so
yeah,
a little good incident between them.
And then more chances for Orient. Kelly heads over from a Collins free kick in the 28th minute. And in the 31st minute, Kelly had a shot, deflected shot from distance, but McCormack saved. So it sounds like we were creating a fair few bit of chances and more than what we have done recently.
Yeah, I mean, having Massey was sort of given a free role because you obviously had me on one side, Crow on the other side. So Massey was sort of the free man, so he could drift where he pretty much wanted. So he was the outlet ball. But I mean, Kelly made a difference as well. I mean, obviously he had his first start at Yeovil, and the second start he's a bit more confident working well with Collins in the midfield. So we were looking better going forward.
Good to hear. Then a slightly weird situation. In the 37th minute, Callum Kennedy was booked for tripping Sarcevic on the halfway line, but then it was so bad that he had to then be substituted off. So Plymouth made two subs in the first half. It's a bit odd.
Inflicted though, I think the centre half got injured in about the opening 15 minutes, and then the winger got injured. I think Kennedy challenged him, he didn't look too bad from where we were standing, but he had to go off as well. So I don't think Derek Adams is too happy, the Plymouth boss,
and in two more bookings in quick succession. So Tom Parks got booked for dissent, and Nicky Hunt got booked for a late challenge, meaning that was Nicky Hunt's 10th booking of the season. Means he had a 2-game suspension, so missed obviously the Notts County game and misses the game against Cheltenham.
Coincidence, Matt?
I'm going to leave that open there.
Coincidence that he got booked?
Well, the Tom Parks one was a stupid booking. He got booked for dissent. I mean, I think it was a ball down the left-hand side. He went for open throwing, started having a go at the linesman. Referee told him to calm down. He had a go at him as well, so he got booked. and then Nicky Hunt just goes through the back of their striker. The ball's played into him, he just had straight for the back of him.
So, obviously.
I even tweeted you guys on on Tuesday night and said, is it a coincidence? He's booked and he's walking on the tightrope before Notts County on Saturday. So.
Yeah, okay. So, then in the 43rd minute, so just before half time, Gavin Massey equalised. Talk us through that goal.
Well, it was a sort of a. Scott, sort of, I think it was out ball onto the, sort of the left hand side, just inside our own half. And he just took the ball with him towards the Plymouth box. And as he got sort of to the edge of the 18-yard box, the Plymouth sort of snowball, I think, allowed him to cut inside. So as soon as anybody knows, Gavin Massey's predominantly right-footed, he's saying, well, Plymouth want to show him down the line. But snowball allowed him to cut inside. He cut inside, but the corner, the far corner was open, so he just curled it wonderfully inside the post. So it's about what we deserved in the first half performance.
Great goal. And interestingly, I think Massey went straight to the bench to give Danny Webb a hug, and you could see all the players again flying straight in there, which shows you the spirit that we had. But a great goal there from Massey. He's been in great form lately. And in 5 minutes of injury time played in the first half, Plymouth had a few chances towards the end. I think Sokolic fired over from a yard out, and then Fox volleyed wide, but we got in at 1-1.
Yeah, it was a good first half. I think it was fairly even if you took all of the chances both teams had, but I mean Plymouth would have been disappointed having taken an early lead to get pegged back by the second bottom side, if you put it in that context.
So yeah, we rode our luck at times, but you know, going in at 1-1 is no bad thing. And the attendance was 8,054. That's big for a Tuesday night League 2 game, with 156. Well, I have seen that number 149, so I'm not quite sure which is accurate on there. But 156 fans trekked all the way down to Plymouth there. Second half kicked off with no substitutions for Orient.
Yeah, and in 49th minute, Karoma beat Sawyer. Jordan, a low cross, which was punched away by McCormick. So a good attacking intent start to the second half there. Like you've already said, Karoma worth a starting place as he's just come in. Seems like he's doing well. And then Samada got booked in the 52nd minute. And just 2 minutes later, Plymouth retook the lead as Matty Kennedy curled it in from inside the area. For me, I think he had a bit too much time in the box there. What were your views on that one, Matt?
Well, he cut inside. I think Jack had a few problems with him in the first half. He jumped in a few times, so Kennedy got around the outside of him a couple of times in the first half. So I think in the second half, I think he'd been told to jog him a bit more, keep him where you can see him. When he did that, he allowed him to shape inside, and as soon as he shaped inside, he had one thought in his mind, which was curling in the far corner. And as soon as the ball left his foot, I think all the Orient fans knew it was going in.
Yeah.
So it's a disappointing goal. I mean, we haven't said it a lot in the last couple of weeks, but it was a goal conceded just after half time again.
I was going to say, the curse of the second half strikes again. And to be honest, at that point, I just looked at my phone and thought, no, we're not coming back from this.
But in the 60th minute, Kennedy of Plymouth curled a shot beyond Sargent, which luckily hit the post, and we cleared that away. That was fortunate, that. Another inch the other way and it would have gone in, right?
It was basically a carbon copy of their second goal. Yeah. Pretty much. Just sat, if you, I mean, I wrote it in the blog, but he pretty much, the ball went straight out to Kennedy, he shaked back inside again, and he clipped the post. I mean, it was, if you'd seen it again, you wouldn't have thought it was any different from his first goal.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then Massey, 66 minute Massey, still fit, still running, passed with Collins before seeing his shot blocked. And in 70th minute, Liam Kelly got booked. And we'll obviously speak about Liam Kelly later.
Yeah.
76th minute, decent effort from Karoma, whose shot was saved for a corner. So more pressure.
I mean, we were pushing. When it got to about 70th minute, we were certainly throwing men forward and pushing the A-class. And Karoma was very lively on the right wing. Lots of tricks, lots of skill to try and get the ball in the box to the
door being massive. Were the Plymouth crowd nervous? Could you tell they were nervous? And
You can tell there was a nervousness around the stadium because the ball would go in a box and it wouldn't be like normally it'd get cleared by Rose Ed, but it was getting cleared. It wouldn't go where they wanted it. It would land straight off feet. So the pressure was still on them. So there was a sense of nervousness around the stadium.
Yeah. And 86th minute, I guess. I think this is the key moment. I think a Plymouth corner. Ball deflects off Bolvitis, hits the post before Sargent pulls off a great save to keep it out. Do you want to talk us through that one, Matt?
It was down the other end. I think the ball got in the box, and I think the Bolvitis, I think, hit it. It clipped an Orient defender, carrying off the post. And I think all real Orient fans, just my first thought was to look at Lino, because you could tell it hit the post, it's rolling along the line.
Yeah.
You could tell, well, is he going to give it? And as soon as Sargent dived on the ball, we thought, oh, we've got away one. Yeah, that could be a turning point here. We were still in the game. That hadn't killed us off yet. So we thought, well, there's still... there's another chance coming in the game. You'll get one more chance to might be able to level it. So we thought, well, that's our lifeline. So we can push on now and see if we can get a leveler.
I'm glad you said that, because in the 88th minute, Massey strikes again as he lashed the ball into the net from a Samado cross. So for me, that was similar to the Oval goal. And if there's one man you would want in that position for the ball to come out to, it would be Massey. Great finish.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if you read Matty's interview afterwards, he spoke about saying, I think Kennedy I was down the back and I started walking down the front. You can sense that you get a bit of pressure, so I started walking down the front thinking it could happen here. And Kennedy crossed the ball. I think Dalby must have got slices of touches. So Massey, they left in absolute ache at the back post, and he fired it underneath the keeper. That was, I mean, all the Warwick fans were jubilant behind the goal when that went in.
That's a polite way of putting it, I think. You got a black eye out of that, didn't you?
No, that's later.
Yeah, I went down the front and Massey came to celebrate, and Sam Dobby came over to celebrate with the fans, and as he went to hug the fans, he slapped me in the eye. So I didn't care, to be honest with you.
Surprised Plymouth didn't report them to the FA for that.
Very good.
Well, I'll get 8 heads for that one. There's actually damage there.
Yeah. And so then
it looked like we nicked a 2-2 draw, which we all would have been happy with. And in the 94th minute, there's only one man who could do this justice. So we'll let Dave Victor tell you what happened in the 94th minute.
On the right-hand side with Gavin Massey. Massey with the pace into the penalty. He pulls it back. Opportunity here. And it comes to Sandre Tomino. And would you believe it? Sandre Tomino has grabbed a dramatic winner for Leighton Orient. Deep into stoppage time. In the 5th minute of stoppage time. I reckon there's not more than 100 travelling supporters. But they're celebrating there with Sandre Tomino. And you can understand why that could be such a precious goal in Leighton Orient's fight for the league survival. And Danny Webb, but 33 years of age, he has got the very best out of the experienced players and the youngsters, and it's the youngster that's grabbed the winner there, man. On the right hand side,
well, I don't think I've ever heard Dave Victor so animated, so it was great to see the last minute goal, and obviously that got us the 3 points. So Matt, what was it like in the away end when that went in?
Well, as Dave said, Massey got the ball, and I think all the fans were just saying, go on, like, take the ball with it, go on, and then the ball gets crossed in, Chroma doing it, and as soon as it hits Semedo, you think, no offence to Semedo, but he's just going to find it over.
Yes, absolutely.
He takes the touch, and as the ball hit the back of the net, I've never seen an away crowd go as mental as that did on Jim. Limbs everywhere. You turn around and look at everybody, and everybody was either down the front celebrating or celebrating themselves, or God knows what was going on.
Amazing. And like Dave Victor said, couldn't have been more than a few seconds more to play, and the full time whistle went, and again we saw the pictures at full time of, you know, the fans celebrating with Semedo and everyone in the club. It must have been a great atmosphere and then a superb evening.
It was brilliant. I mean, the best part is if you watch the highlights again, is when Semedo scores a goal, you see every member of that Orient squad run all to celebrate with
him. That was inspiring.
Even goes to celebrate with the dugout, Jard and all them pile into Semedo, so he showed that everyone was together.
Yeah. No, it's genuinely inspiring to see that, because I think we've genuinely lacked that togetherness and team spirit. They look like a group of players that had just come together on the day and cobbled in and put in the squad, but now they actually look like they're playing for each other, they're fighting for each other, and they're playing for the badge, which is all we ever asked for.
Absolutely. So to end, Matt, your thoughts on the game? Did we deserve it in the end, or were we lucky to nick the win?
I mean, I thought we deserved at least a point out of the game. I mean, they had chances. And when any team's only got a one goal lead, I mean, twice they had that, they didn't kill us off. They didn't score the second goal, which might have dampened the mood a bit. And coming from the point at Yeovil where we did really well there, you could sense there was something a bit about Orient, and you knew we would get chances. So when the second half happened, I think if you took the last 20 minutes into account, then we definitely deserved the win.
Cool. Well done for going, mate. You're a genuine trooper, and thanks for coming on the show and giving us your first hand experience of that game. It is appreciated, and safe travels. I'll probably see you next at Newport.
See you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday at Cheltenham. Yeah, against Cheltenham.
Yeah, I'll see you Saturday, lads.
Take care.
Thank you, mate. So that's Matt Bristow's thoughts on the Plymouth game. So Matt was obviously there. You can read Matt's blogs. He blogs on. He's on Twitter. We retweet his tweets, and he also posts on Facebook. But yeah, you can find him at Matt Bristow. So we won the match 3-2 amazingly. Danny Webb said after the game, in the 18-man squad, there were 10 academy products, which is outstanding. But don't forget about the other 8, people like Gavin Massey, Nicky Hunt, Liam Kelly, Tom Parks, Callum Kennedy and Michael Collins bring so much to the table. And on the bench, you have players that have stayed professional. You saw after we scored the winner, they were all on the pitch. Those lads didn't think we are not going on tonight, so we're going to sulk because we are all in this together. So again, a great quote there from Danny Webb showing the spirit within the squad and what he has built, because that spirit wasn't there prior to him building it.
Yeah, a la Slade. You know, everyone had that. Russell Slade, I distinctly remember saying that, you know, just because those guys on the bench didn't get a game, they were still right behind all those players that were on the pitch doing their best. So league table meant, unfortunately, we stayed in 23rd, but we moved on level points of Cheltenham and 1 point behind Notts County and Accrington, and we're just 2 points behind Hartlepool, who have joined the relegation battle.
Because we dragged them into it. They've been dragged into it now. 2 weeks ago, they were nowhere near it, and now because other teams have been winning, and like we won, they're back there in it now, which is good.
We're going to do a full roundup of the league table after the Notts County match. Yep. So my views of that.
Your views?
For me, what an amazing result. No one really could have predicted, well, with the exception of one person, but we'll come on to that later. Just really shows you what togetherness, team spirit, determination and the desire to do well with a game plan, a good game plan, does to a group of players. I genuinely still can't believe we won. It was such a vital win. And obviously, make no mistake about that, Gavin Massey has hit some great form at last, and he will be vital to our efforts staying up. We've scored late goals in recent games, and I have to put that down to the fitness of the players. Well done, Michael Amoah. I have to say, like we said earlier, in response to George's tweets, that they just didn't look fit at the end of pre-season. I think this is really does play a huge part on how well you do during the season. So well done to all involved. Enjoy the moment. But we have several more vital games that we need to get points from, so focus on those now. I'm really enjoying listening to Danny Webb's interviews. I think he comes across really well. And all the nonsense from Plymouth. Their manager is a horrible human being. He lacks grace and the dignity to be a top manager. I really genuinely hope they miss out on promotion.
Yep, and obviously we'll come on a bit more to Plymouth in
what
a little bit.
To there, yeah.
So my views, a superb win. Shows the togetherness and the spirit that Danny has created. You know, like I've said, once Plymouth went 2-1 up, I thought, that's it.
We're not coming dead back and buried.
This. Yeah, but to get an equaliser in the 88th minute and then snatch a winner in the 94th minute is outstanding.
Yeah.
Well done to all 11 men on the pitch and all the subs who played a part, all battled and fought for the shirt. Massey, 2 goals against the Meadow, like Matt said. Ball came out to me thinking he ain't going to hit this, he's going to smack it over. But great finish by Semedo in the last minute. I've been critical of Semedo, but fair play to him. Sargent done very well, produced some great saves. Again, in the 86th minute, game-saving save. Karoma and Judd continue to do well. Danny Webb take a bow. You know, what a victory. Huge amount of respect to those fans who travelled all the way on Valentine's Day to see that. And I hope your other halves weren't too disappointed. So those were our views, your view. So I would say that was probably, after a match, it's probably the most sweets, I think, we've ever received. So thank you for all the tweets. We can't mention all of them, otherwise we would be here all night. So we'll mention a selection. Firstly, from @Boatsy, who says, desire, heart, passion and great work ethic. With this belief and determination, we will stay up. A fantastic win.
Yeah, @Bucko551 said, think I'm having a heart attack, can't breathe. Orient, you will be my demise. And I have to say, just in response to David, that he was struggling. He was so excited. He was struggling.
Very animated. Paul R. Gregory said, full respect to Danny Webb and his players. That result is immense. And there's real hope now for the first time in ages. And I think that's why people were so, you know, into it and so overwhelmed, because that hope is back and that hope had been gone for months.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy Atkinson 6, matched Plymouth and totally deserved the win. Well done, boys. There's hope yet.
Vince Howard 73 said, that, gentlemen, is what supporting Orient is all about. That, next time, can we just score a bit early, please, that, and make it a bit more comfortable?
@SamCast9 said, someone forgot to tell Danny Webb that we're meant to already be dead. Sandro Semedo has got a fair bit of stick this season, never hidden despite the pressure, and now the hero. Good point.
At 67, Sammy. So well done, Sam, for going. And I know you took your youngest, so well done on a fantastic evening. It says, amazing result. They dug deep and came up with the goods. 2 fingers up to FB. He won't kill this club.
@RossMcCaff, fair play to the fans that went all that way. There's not been many times this season the journey's been worth it.
Yeah, @MattCallumesque says, I got arrested tonight. Officer said, you on drugs? And I said, yes. He said, which one? And I replied, Orient is my drug.
@GaryTalbot7 said, clearly the little club with a big heart was beating again in Devon. Brilliant.
@Wadsey said, I'd forgotten what it feels like to be excited. What an amazing feeling. More of the same, please. And, you know, obviously we weren't there, but watching it through Twitter, when that came through in the 93rd, when you just saw Semedo in caps, I think from the official Orient Twitter feed in 3-2, you're just like, No, it was killer.
And then listening Orient to Dave Victor now, that still puts hairs on the back of my neck up.
Brilliant.
Gingery ID 81 said, everyone asked for the fight. The bookings show they want it. 15 games to go. 20 points off the playoffs. It can be done, but safety first.
I will say, good point about the bookings. We're starting to get a lot of bookings. There's quite a few in that one. And when we come set, there's a few more. At Barry Mittelman, it just sounds like Webb has ignited great spirit. Sour grapes at the end from Adams. Bad loser, a negative manager. I think Adams went and spoke to the ref at the full-time whistle again and then was quoted after the match a few times saying he wasn't very happy.
Bad loser. And it wouldn't be surprising me if they rushed to the referee's office to complain about what we're going to talk about after as well. But yeah, just a very negative club. David Medjic said, never have I ever been part of something like that. The scenes on that second and third goal, something good is happening.
Yeah, the authentic Gaz says, not in a million years did I imagine 4 points from the two away games. Well done, Webby and the lads. Somewhere in Mayfair, Franny is throwing his toys out of his pram again right now. The whole squad now to be frozen out on Saturday, ?
John Macker, 1977, absolutely buzzing. Webby is installing the never say die attitude. Fantastic win, and it's now vital we push on.
Yeah, Orient Dave says a huge, huge 3 points, and maybe the manner in which it happened is even bigger. Three goals should give us great belief. I mean, yeah, not many teams will go to Plymouth and score three goals.
Yeah, and the fact that we've got goals in us.
I think we had something like 14 or 15 shots on target, which...
it's incredible.
Yeah.
At LOFC Chaz, 100% the performance of the season. Coming from behind twice shows the players want this. Cannot fault anyone. They were absolutely superb. Masses on fire and play like this week in, week out. We will stay up.
Yeah, Ian K. Richardson said 15 games to go, only two of the top seven to play and all six of bottom seven to play. So fixtures are smiling on us at the moment.
Yeah, good point. Well made, Ian. At Odear Walshy, the current togetherness and team attitude to get us out of this mess is great to see. Can't say they don't care.
Yeah, Jack Coates, 14, said, I thought we worked harder for the win. The ref was biased, just listening to the crowd, but we deserved it. Massey was on another level, so a man like Gav smashing it.
Yeah, at Lyndon Orient said, I have not gone mad of a goal like that since the playoff second leg. Amazing scenes. I have a lot of faith in Danny.
Yeah, and in the final word, we've used boats to get, because I saw quite a lot of these, and we should have done something around this. So I saw loads of tweets with roses are red, violets are blue, and loads of dot, dot, dot. But obviously he finishes on saying, roses are red, violets are blue, Leighton Orient 3, Plymouth 2.
Yeah,
so that rounds up Valentine's Day very nicely.
Yeah, so a huge well done to Magnus Pugner, who correctly predicted that Orient would win 3-2 tonight, so you get 3 points. And interestingly, you also predicted a 90th minute winner. Unfortunately, you had Nicky Hunt to score. So you were really, really close, mate. Really close. So well done to everybody who guessed in the Prediction League.
Yep, so Wednesday 15th of February. So Plymouth Argyle will release a statement in the morning. So now reported Liam Kelly to the FA for reportedly pushing over a ball boy. And more to come on that story later on.
Yep, Gavin Massey is named in the EFL team of midweek following his performance versus Plymouth. So well done, Gav.
Yeah, and then late in the evening, I think it's about 9 p.m, friend of the podcast, Kevin Nugent, is appointed first team coach at Barnet. So we wish Kev all the luck in the world, apart from when they are playing Orient, and I'm sure he'll do a good job down there. I think he started off yesterday with a 1-1 draw at home to Portsmouth, who scored a late equaliser. So
good start
there for Kev. Yeah.
Yep. Thursday the 16th of February, man of the moment, Gavin Massey is awarded the Sky Bet League 2 goal of the night for his first goal versus Plymouth. So well done to Gav.
Yeah, great goal there. He's on fire, like we said. And then Liam Kelly is charged by the FA over the ball boy gate. So obviously we didn't report on it during the match, but I'm sure everyone knows what happened. Ball goes out of play. Liam Kelly goes to get off the ball boy, pushes him over. Ball boy goes flying.
Unnecessary.
That's what's done. So statement read, Leighton Orient's Liam Kelly has been charged by the FA following the game at Plymouth Argyle on the 14th of February. It is alleged he committed an act of violent conduct in the 86th minute, which was not seen by the match officials but caught on video, contrary to rule E3. That's interesting, that to come off topic, because he got booked in the 70th minute. And if the ref had seen that, I'm surprised he didn't pull out a yellow and send Liam Kelly off, because he did see it.
The ref was looking straight at
him. Yeah, but he didn't even book him. The statement went on to say, furthermore, the FA submitted a claim that the standard punishment for this alleged offence would be clearly insufficient, which I guess is 3 games. The player has until 6 p.m. on 17th of February 2017 to respond to the charge.
And having seen the footage on several occasions, it's pretty conclusive and indefensible, really. Really think the local Plymouth media really making the most of it too. Obviously a bit of a slow news year for them. Yeah, a lot happens down in Plymouth, clearly.
They made a massive meal out of it.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't take losing well. So Friday, 17th of February, Gavin Massey again. So this time he won the Sky Bet League 2 Goal of the Month for January for his strike away to Portsmouth, which was a great strike.
Man at the moment, man like Gav.
Can't stop scoring. I mean, that was a great goal, and I just hope we can keep hold of him in the summer, because if he keeps on doing stuff like this, he ain't going to hang around for too much longer, regardless of whether he's under contract or not.
Yep. So ahead of the Notts County game, Danny Webb spoke to George Sessions and he said, "You can't help but glance at the league table, but I try not to, and I've told the players the same. I want them to switch off as soon as they go home from training and don't go on the internet and look at other teams' form and fixtures." He goes on to say, "We need to concentrate on ourselves and what will be. What will be, will be. And if we keep playing like we did at Plymouth, then things will be positive for us. But we are still second from bottom. There's a long way to go and we're probably still favourites to go down. So we need to make sure we keep proving people wrong." So, like that a lot.
Yeah, again, great words from Danny there. And at 6:45, the club put out the following statement regarding Liam Kelly. It said, "It was never the intention of Liam to be violent and he apologises profusely to both the ball boy and to Plymouth Argyle. The club strongly deny the accusation of violent conduct given to the player and reference an incident involving Matt Ritchie. He was playing for Swindon Town in a game against Oxford United on March 3rd, 2012, where the player was only cautioned for a similar offence. In addition, an incident involving Eden Hazard during Capital One Cup match on January 23rd, 2013 for Chelsea against Swansea City also took place, where the player not only pushed but also kicked the ball boy in the ribs. This incident was heard by commission, where a 3-game ban was deemed sufficient. So due to this, we feel that what happened on Tuesday with Liam is no more serious than the above cases." And then
the FA met at 6 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock they announced that Liam Kelly will be banned for 6 games with immediate effect. So where's the consistency?
Yeah, I mean,
just when you want the governing body to come in and be fair and consistent. All right, Liam's in the wrong, completely and utterly in the wrong. No way you should be doing that to the ball boy. The ball boy looked like he quickly got up and was about to roll the ball over to the corner flag.
Yeah.
So why Liam felt the need to shove him or try and get the ball off him, just... the ball boy was genuinely, he looked like he was doing his job. I feel sorry for him.
Well, it's probably frustration at that point. 2-1 down, because it was the 86th minute. We were 2-1 down, yeah, chasing equaliser, and he's probably thinking, oh, you know, he's probably just got the complete game on his mind.
And now we've lost him for 6 weeks.
Well, for me, it's...
which is till the end of March, for 6 games.
For me, he deserved the ban. I think all Warrant fans probably agree he deserved the ban, but it's just the length of the ban that's kind
exactly.
of peed everyone off. So Hazard, like I mentioned, only got 3, and he kicked the ball boy in the ribs. You know, so
exactly.
I'm not saying pushing or kicking a ball boy is right, whatever, but there's got to be some consistency. And this lad, you know, when you say ball boy, he's not like an 11-year-old kid. He's 17, same age as Dalby and same age as Judd. So I ain't this little kid who can't defend himself.
It's like a 9-year-old kid,
it's someone who's classed as an adult. It doesn't make it right. And the tweet we put out had loads of fans from other teams, and not Orient fans or Plymouth fans, who thought the ban was probably, most people thought the ban was spot on. So maybe we're just biased towards Liam,
maybe.
Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, discussing an ugly episode, really could do without the attention, and I'm questioning, why did we appeal it? I guess you probably don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out who was behind the appeal.
Yeah.
It was blatant. We had no right to appeal it. Kelly's in the wrong, and the FA are wrong yet again, as they have precedence on this type of incident, but I think they make it up as they go along, really. And I don't think it's any coincidence that our improvement in players coincided with Kelly's return, and now we've lost him on the eve of a vital game with, as we said earlier, 6 of the 7 around us to play. So, stupid all round, really. Horrible episode. It's not becoming of an episode at Leighton Orient. I can't remember the last time anybody was involved in something like that for the club. So move on. It's been done, dusted.
Yeah, so thanks for all your tweets on that. We had loads on Friday night. We won't mention any, otherwise this will be an epic podcast. But thank you for all your views on that one. So Saturday, 18th of February, which was yesterday, the under-18s began their Merit League One campaign at home to Cambridge United, with the goal coming from
Arnold Haxiou.
Yeah, so he scored the goal. and Paul, you made a note. You said he started 2 league games and came on as a sub 6 times. That's a new name to us. So
yeah,
it's good to see more new names, because obviously as established youth players make the step up, it's got to be players who have got to come through. So good to see that, which leads us nicely to Notts County at home, as Kevin Nolan and Richard Thomas returned to Brisbane Road for a relegation encounter.
Absolutely. Team lined up with Sargent in goal, Judd, Mezigay, Parks, Kennedy, with Karoma, Atengana, Collins, Semedo and McCallum and Massey. Subs were Granger, Clark, Moore, Moncur, Alzate, Dolby and Liebird. That meant 3 changes from Plymouth, as Teddy Mezigay, Nigel Atengana and Paul McCallum all start, with Paul McCallum as captain of the Osers. Both Nicky Hunt and Liam Kelly are suspended, and obviously Robbie Weir, who is team captain, is out with an ACL injury long term.
So your views on that one?
Surprised that Paul McCallum was given the captain's armband. I thought a more experienced pro like Callum Kennedy might have been given it, but fair play. Danny Webb had his reasons for it, that's all good. And for me, the rest of the team lined up as you'd expect it, really, because That's all we've got.
Yeah, if I like it, that's exactly the line I would have picked. So I was very happy with that. Mm. So match kicked off, good atmosphere inside Brisbane Road.
Yeah, rocking.
It was really good, actually.
Big turnout.
Yeah, decent. And the match was only 5 minutes old when Shola Amiobi and Tom Parks clashed, and Parks was straight down. You could tell in like a few seconds that it looked pretty bad.
He weren't moving.
Play carried on and he weren't moving, ball got kicked out.
It looked like, from where we were sat at the other end, that he'd fallen awkwardly. I thought he might have been winded or busted a rib, but it looked like
he was winded, yeah. So after 5 minutes of treatment, Tom Parks had to go off and Sam Dalby came on, so a bit of a reshuffle at the back because Callum Kennedy moved to centre-back, Sandros Maddo moved to left-back, Massey moved to left-wing, and Sam Dalby went up front.
Absolutely. On the 17th minute, or in the 17th minute rather, a moment of magic really from Gavin Massey as Sam Sargent caught across and found Massey, who runs from inside his own half, beat two players and has a decent shot that is saved. The ball comes back to him as he tries to find McCallum and Dalby, and two Notts County players are on the line to stop the shot.
That was a great attack, that turn. Away took his first marker out.
He spun. Brilliant. He played the ball between two Notts County players with his back to another Notts County goal in his own half, and he spun them both and just ran.
Full of confidence.
Absolutely outrageous.
Full of
outrageous skill.
Unlucky.
Fantastic.
Unlucky that wasn't a goal.
Loved it.
If that had been a goal, that would be a goal of the day. Would have been goal
all day long. Goal of the weekend, no question.
Wasn't to be though. Unfortunately, for a minute, Sandros Semedo got booked for foul on the halfway line. I've made a note here. He must be counting up to 5 bookings. He got booked on Tuesday. Don't worry about his stats. He's got to be on 4, at least 4, or that might have been his 5th. Then in the 31st minute, Semedo crossed in, and Atangana got in ahead of his defender, but poked the ball wide. And that proved to be costly because in the 35th minute, Notts County took the lead slightly against run of play. Their keeper, it was literally Route 1 football, so their keeper, and I don't know if people remember this, and I didn't until you told me, that's the keeper who saved the penalties at Wembley for Rotherham.
Yes, Adam Cullen. Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, that was his 5th booking, by the way.
I thought it must have been so.
Because he got booked 3 in the last
and
three games.
And he got booked to Plymouth. Yeah, so Route 1 football from them. Amiobi missed the initial header, ball bounced, Mezuge failed to clear and ended up flicking it backwards into Grant's path. He just poked into the back of the net, out of nothing. Terrible goal for me to concede that one.
Yeah.
And we were one down.
Yeah, well, and it was Route 1. And Callum Kennedy and who else was involved? Mezuge should have done better, really.
Yeah, Mezuge couldn't get enough power on his header back cause as the ball was spinning behind him, but disappointing to go a goal down. And in following the goal, we had some decent pressure.
We did.
Cromer looked very lively, I've got to say, in the first half. Had the beating of
really
his fullback.
Good.
Had the beating of his fullback from the first minute.
Yeah.
Massey looked lively. McCallum and Dalby couldn't really get into it, I thought. They were having problems getting into the game. Couldn't get the service to him.
Yeah.
It
was a shame. Josh Cromer
shaves, but nothing.
Has done well in that game. And he done well against Yeovil away. Well, not that we were there to see it, but from what we heard, he'd done well. And especially, you know, Plymouth as well. So good luck to him. He came on, he hadn't really been given much of a chance. It's really good to see that he has
really
been.
Really good. So 6 minutes of injury time and a half-time whistle went. And we were slightly unfortunate to trail.
I'm not being We had a lot of possession, half, but neither keeper were really worked that well for me.
Crowd, really good.
Really good.
When you go goal down, there's none of this bichet, yeah, blah. It's all literally focusing on the team, supporting the team. Everyone behind Danny Webb heard lots of Danny Webb's red and white armies and stand up for the Orient. It's very good to see and refreshing, I would say.
100%. Better atmosphere, more enjoyable for the players to come and play in. Hopefully a bit intimidating for the opposition. Decent half though. We played well. Coromas looked good and so has Massey. McCallum and Dalby really not able to get into the game. Crowd were fantastic. And a poor goal to concede. There were 5,585 fans inside the ground with 705 from Notts County. I don't think they've ever brought that many down.
Oh, really?
In the park. I don't think. Okay. No, not really. Maybe 300 or 400 or 500, but not 700 that I can remember.
Yep. So second half kicked off. No subs for the O's, and then the dreaded curse. The second half strikes again as Notts County doubled their lead in the 48th minute. A bit of a bizarre one. Sam Sargent came.
He came out for the cross.
Their man put in a great, it was a really good ball actually. I didn't think so at the time, but their number 8 put in a fantastic ball in between Semedo and Stead. And
yes.
It looked like Sargent had both hands on the ball and was going to clasp it, but as he appeared to have both hands, or slightly both hands, Stead sticks out his foot, gets it, goes over Sargent.
It was chest high, it was a high boot.
It looked high.
For me, that shouldn't have been a goal because either Sam had it in his hands and he's kicked it out of his hands, or the boot was high. One of those two would suggest to me that should have been our free kick. Spur of the moment, heat of the moment, his leg was high. If you want to say that Sam Dalby didn't have control of the ball, fine. Sam Sargent. If he didn't have control of the ball, I can accept that, but the boot was still high.
I think his boot was okay, actually. I think a few people put clips of freeze framed on telly of Sargent appearing to have both hands on the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I'll go with that then.
This ref yesterday was massively, I'm sure you,
morbidly
most people listening to this were probably there, but he was
obese, to be polite.
He was obese. For a referee. It was disappointing because as the goal goes in, you've got three defenders standing there who just think it ain't going to get given. Well, maybe more of an effort could be made to run towards the line, but
and it was Miles Judd who was marking him.
Yeah, so it wasn't meant to be, and the goal stood, and even Judd Steed looked slightly surprised when it was given. He kind of gets up and you can see him looking at the line, waiting for a flag to be up, and there ain't no flag, and 2-0. But credit to Roy, 49th minute, we struck back instantly as Nigel Atangana had a header, hit the crossbar, and ball fell to McCallum. Coolly nodded in the rebound with his 11th goal of the season to make it 2-1.
That was a good goal, that was good anticipation by Paul McCallum to stay there and be onside.
Good build up from Judd, who put a nice pass to Karoma, put a great ball to Atangana, good header, and great to see that fighting for the match.
It's nice to see us being the ones dishing out that sort of a return, because before we've had two players who've gifted goals like that where we've been sharper to the second ball.
It's good
that now it's us that are dishing that out. So following this, the next 20 minutes of play with both teams looking for the goal. O's to draw level, Notts County to clinch a win. But Josh Karoma got booked in the 63rd minute. And the referee was, you know, we always get poor refs. I don't know. And even Mark that was sat behind me, like, he couldn't really believe this ref. And I said, this is probably one of the better refs that we've had down here this season.
He was really bad, I thought, yesterday.
Oh, he was terrible. Really
bad. I think the Karoma booking was... But there's worse. Karoma booking was noted, because Notts County player made an identical foul 2 minutes before. Didn't give a yellow, and Karoma did. And in the 70th minute, the game should have been over, as a microwave kind of cross found ahead of John Stead, completely unmarked in the six-yard box, who put it wide, and he should have already finished that. So, still lucky to be in it.
Yep. On the 77th minute, Gavin Massey collects a pass from Kennedy. He cuts back onto his right foot. Curls an effort, which is saved by Collins.
Good save. Good keeper, I thought, that. Collins, unfortunately. And in the 81st minute, we equalised. The Brisbane Road went mental as the Semedo cross came out to Massey, who smashed a volley into the box. Ball ricocheted. Came out to Teddy Mezigay, who literally just thumped the ball.
That was a really good corner. Goal. Great finish. Could have absolutely rosetted that.
Great finish. And he went straight into the corner of the north stand. And even Theo get involved with the celebrations. And again, all players straight to the goal scorer. Massive celebration. And you think, really 10 minutes left, we pulled it back from 2-0 down. Let's go and win this game. Come on, Orion.
The technique and the technical ability to do that should not be underestimated, because if he was a split second later, their defender would have got
great,
there first.
Great finish, no chance for the keeper.
Fair play to Teddy, and I spoke to him afterwards outside the supporters club. Yeah. Really nice, level-headed guy. Good. Yeah, so fantastic. Sadly though, in the 84th minute, our celebrations are short-lived as poor defending allowed John Stead to coolly place the ball in the back of the net. At the far post, really poor defending there on so many levels. Mezigay out of position, should have done better. Karoma was involved there, should have prevented the cross from coming in. Nigel Atangana miskicked it and ended up nutmegging himself, and that's how the ball found its way to
Stead. As soon as it came to Stead, just knew he was going to finish it
all day long.
Good finish, a player of that experience ain't going to miss that. But
it
like
wasn't
you said,
a difficult goal though. It was a side foot into, not quite into the corner, but just inside.
But if it had come to someone like John Stead or an Ollie Palmer, I know who I'd prefer to be
on
Lisby. That's a goal that Lisby would have put into a corner, but not necessarily other forwards in the division. But
that's who we
miss. So gut wrenching to concede a goal just 3 minutes after conceding an equaliser. But to be fair, players' heads didn't go down. We searched for an equaliser, and despite 5 minutes of injury time, no real chances to talk about really. Unable to find a goal, and we slipped to a costly 3-2 defeat at home to one of our relegation rivals.
Yeah, Danny Webb spoke to the media after the match. He said on Tom Parks, "I think it's a very serious injury. Unfortunately, it looks like a pelvic fracture initially, but hopefully it isn't that bad. Obviously, it's hard to tell the diagnosis straight away, but he's been one of our players of the season in terms of consistency and putting his body on the line." He goes on to say, "Callum had a very sore thigh. Not only did he play through the pain barrier for the team, but he went to centre-back up against a forward who is 6'5". There are a lot of players out there against Notts County who went above and beyond, and they'll continue to do that until the end of the season.
Yeah, I like that. Dave Victor also sent out a few tweets that we'll take a few quotes from. So he said that Danny said, "Those boys are given everything. I can't ask for more from them. I've had five games and five really good performances, but not enough points." Danny also said there's been big improvements. The players are giving the support with something to enjoy. Passion from some of their own. I'd agree with that. I did quite enjoy yesterday. It was a good performance, apart from the result. And then the last thing that Dave Victor tweeted about, which is probably the most relevant, he said Danny explained that the president has said that no new players will be coming in. So after deadline day, Danny did say he wanted to look at the free agent list, see if he could bring anyone in. But it looks like that will not happen. And even with Tom Parks' injury, where we could do with another experienced defender, or anyone, really, it looks like there will be no new faces down at the Orient, unfortunately. Yeah.
So league table meant that we stayed in 23rd, having played 32. We've only won 8, we've drawn 5, but we've lost a massive 19 games. We've now, unfortunately, got a goal difference of minus 15, and we are now only on 29 points. At one point, the table was actually looking quite favourable for us. Newport, who are below us, were in stay in 24th. They were 2-0 up against Cambridge, but ended up losing 3-2. Hartlepool in 22nd, managed to get a 1-1 draw with Plymouth. And Cheltenham in 21st, beat Yeovil 2-0. Yeah. So they've got a bit of form, Cheltenham. So yeah, that's not going to be an easy game next week. So
your views on that one?
Yeah, gutted that we didn't get something from this game. The curse of conceding within the first 10 minutes of the second half strikes again. I make that about 12 goals in 12 games, bloody roughly. Okay. We have to be more clinical in each box. We have to defend better and be more clinical in the opposition box as well. Massey and Caroma were absolutely superb.
Yep, agree with that.
We created lots, 59% possession overall, but we really didn't work their goalkeeper enough. Really, really proud of the players. Love how the supporters are backing the players. And as I say, speaking to Teddy Mezeguet outside the supporters club after, he said there's more belief and freedom in the way they play. It goes without saying that we need all the points we can get from now until the end of the season. It is still in our hands, so we have to keep the faith.
Yeah, like
your
it.
Your thoughts?
Yep, so close, but so far, you know, at 2-2, only one team should win the game. Only one team should win the game after coming back from 2-0 down at home for 10 minutes left.
I think a draw would have been a fair result.
That's been the story of our season, isn't it?
Because neither goalkeeper really worked that much, to be fair.
But, I mean, all three goals conceded, all of them were poor, and all could have been preventable. And I'm sure Danny Webb will be going through the videos of those goals with his defence and Sam tomorrow. Thought Massey and Caroma were ace. It's Caroma in the first half, especially. I think he tired a bit in the second half, or they caught on to him a bit more. Thought Nige was better as well.
I agree. Collins was a bit lax yesterday, wasn't he?
I thought compared next to Atangana, I thought Atangana was the better of the two yesterday. I thought McCallum and Dorby found it tough. Even though McCallum scored, he didn't really get much. Apart from the goal, he'd done much. You know, and being captain as well. I thought Dorby found it tough, but making some good little runs. But I just thought the experience of Stead and Amiobi for them, they had the beating of our defenders all day long, roughed them up. Just use their experience, little nudges here and there, don't know how to do. Great atmosphere again at Brisbane Road. And if we defend better, the results will come. And we will win, you know. Absolutely. So your views, again, loads of views. We'll only mention a selection of what we got. So Deerstree messaged us and said, it's an interesting point, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
To get feedback on this. So let us know what you think of this at Orient Outlook, or give us an email, orientoutlook@outlook.com. So he said, for me, Webb got it wrong when Parks went off. Should have kept the attacking players as it was and moved Nigel to centre-half and brought on Sammy Moore.
I agree.
To expect Kennedy to mark one of Steed or Amiobi is a bad decision. They tower over him, and all County did was lump the ball up to them all game and try and get lucky, which they did 3 times through our poor defending. Nigel, for me, is a liability at the moment. PMAC, clearly not fit. Yes, our squad is thin, but just think Webb got it wrong today. On to next week. Fingers crossed for a big win against Cheltenham up the O. So makes a good point there. Was the sub right? You know, we had Michael Clark on the bench. Not to bring Michael Clark on, because it would have been his debut. And to bring him on either against Stead or Amiobi, I just think that would have been too hard for Michael Clark so early on in the game.
Yeah.
And when you know that sub was made, it did look like we were going to bring Atangana on, Atangana into central defence, which I think would have been a good call. But you know, this is all easy to say in hindsight. But interesting there. I did like that. Good points.
At Orient, Joe said defending will be the end of us. Every week we concede awful goals.
Yeah. Mort Jiggs are truly heartbroken for the first time in a while.
CM Oriental tweeted us and he said, a bad result, need to keep focus and hope the luck changes. Surely 13 defeats at home will result in relegation, but I hope not.
That's a lot of home defeats.
That's a lot of home defeats.
Only in February.
Yeah.
Lennon Four says, you have to feel for the youngsters thrown into this mess, but they're trying so hard to save us, but just falling short.
At Gorillas 1985, absolutely gutted. Not sure how we lost that. No subs again, though. Should have brought fresh legs on. Go again next week. Danny said that he won't just make subs for the sake of making subs. He obviously felt what we had on the pitch was fine.
Yeah. Johnny underscore 2699 says, haven't felt that gutted since relegation. Makeshift defence showed, and I think we would have won with Parks not going off. I don't want to knock him, but I don't think Dalby is yet good enough for the first team. Next game, though, is bigger than the Peterborough playoff semi.
At Sam Harborne 1, gutted, thought we deserved the point, but we have been giving away cheap goals all season.
Yeah. House 42 says, a great atmosphere, great determination today, so let's keep the faith.
Samuel LOFC 97, still have faith. Yesterday was not the result we wanted, but nothing was expected at Plymouth, and we got 3 points from six is what we expected, and we've just got to got that the other way around. So I get where you're coming from there. Yeah, no one expected us to get Plymouth 3 points in something today. So next three will determine where we finish: Cheltenham, Stevenage, and Newport.
Yeah, Winsmad makes an interesting point here. Not heard many of these in the last couple of weeks. Need to bring back Chizak. Just can't help thinking Sargent has cost us a goal or two today, but probably not Webb's decision.
At Paul Staines 86, we did not deserve to lose that at all. First two goals were fouls on our players, in my opinion, actually showed pure fight.
Yeah, good point there from Paul. I think in the building, it was said. At Lee Gibbs 1, this is a great effort. Too many kids, but no one else available. Always going to struggle with a makeshift back four against two big lumps.
That's a really good point. Sorry, just going back to Paul Staines. Teddy was shoved for the first goal, or someone was shoved on that first goal. I'm pretty sure of it.
Amiobi with his little nudges.
Yeah.
It's just the experience, little things that you know refs won't necessarily see.
Blow up for. Yeah. Pank P007, Semedo, lots of possession with little end product, an ounce more than thought, and he could be top notch, deserved a draw today. I have to say, his crosses were so overhit.
Some of them, I think his crosses are 50-50. Some is perfect, some are slightly overhit. Yeah. And, you know, the other wingers should be taking more of a gamble at that point, because they just go out and they're not that far out.
Yeah.
Kylie 05 says, a massive effort from the O's today, but didn't deserve to lose. That midfield change should have been made. # still believe.
At MJJ Scanlon, we look decent when we get the ball down and play. Just need to cut out silly errors at the back, which are hurting us.
Yeah, Lewis Crow 06 is some promising stuff, but there are certain players in this team that aren't good enough to keep us up.
At M0PHO, we didn't deserve to lose that game. McCallum doesn't look fit. Some very dodgy decisions by the ref up the O's.
Yeah, unexpected item zero says, relegation battle on two fronts, against other sides at the bottom and against the owner who's destroying us from the inside.
At Scotch Egg 87, so frustrating to lose it at the end, but on a positive, our luck will surely change, and in my opinion, we're finally fighting.
Yeah, good tweet that. At Chicken Oriental says, I think Clark should have replaced Parks. Squad gets smaller by the day. We miss Kelly today, and I'd play Sammy Moore next game.
Yeah, at MP Allen 222, so gutted for the boys, giving 110% every game under Webb, and deserve results. If they keep fighting like this, we'll stay up.
Yeah, David D. Hanus is painful. Didn't deserve to lose that. Back four need to step things up ASAP, as we are conceding too many sloppy goals.
Yeah, at Jamie Stripe, there is enough in the team, as long as we don't run out of players, to get out of it. One step forward and two back in a week.
Good point, Nat. That's a good line, Nat. At Jaffa Shamuti, just didn't see anything today to say we can't stay up, except for a certain naivety at the back. Sort that out and we'll be fine.
Yeah, Bradley Acker's 95, sorry, the squad will learn from this defeat. But to come back from 2-0 down, deserve some praise. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it was a good point. At Lee Holland, 37 underscore, says, have to say, Teddy was solid today. Just a shame that the ref made some poor decisions. We should have won. I was impressed by Karoma, but I just think 90 minutes was a bit too long for him. Lee, I think spot on there with your tweet.
Yeah, Kevin Cowland tweeted saying, Danny, Omar and the players should be so proud of that performance yesterday. Gave their all and left nothing out on the pitch.
And the final word this week goes to D. David, who says, no way did we deserve to get nothing from that game. We may have lost the battle, but we can still win the war. Come on, you O's! Yeah,
like, but you know what? I have to say, sort of hearing those tweets sort of read out loud, it's not just, oh, we've lost the game and it's doom and gloom. People are still really positive because they can see the turnaround in the performances and the commitment that the players are showing. Rewind a month ago, if we'd have lost 3-2 to Notts County a month ago, those tweets wouldn't be saying anything like that.
And that's why I think we made a point of reading quite a lot of tweets. I know we normally read quite a lot of tweets anyway, but even though we lost their positive tweets and the volume of tweets we've had where people aren't just doom and gloom, and it's good, it makes a nice change from doing the 2.5 years of the podcast and most weeks people not being too happy. So thanks for all your tweets this week. We had loads this week, and If we haven't mentioned yours, we apologise, but there's only so many we can mention.
Yeah, prediction league update. Nobody guessed this result correctly, so the prediction league table stays as it was last week. O's fan basing tops the prediction league. At Nina Barone 27 is in second place and Joe underscore Pavitt is third. The full table is viewable on our Facebook page. Just search Facebook Orient Outlet Podcast.
Yeah.
And we will be there.
Fantasy football update. Nothing this week, as there was no premiership fixture, so I think the premiership returns next weekend. If it doesn't return in midweek, but as soon as it does, points will be back up for grabs and get your teams back up and ready for next week.
Sunday the 19th of February, the ladies team were in action. They beat London Corinthians 4-0 with two goals from Jazz, one for Ella May M, and the other goal from Ellie, I beg your pardon. So well done to the ladies.
Yeah, which brings us on nicely to the positives and negatives of the week. You can do positives because I done positives last week.
Cool. Positives this week, we're playing really well. We're attacking teams. We're giving it a good go.
Well, we scored 5 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 goals. That's pretty decent for 2 games.
Absolutely.
Stop conceding.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've got to shut the back door and keep the front door open, really.
Yeah.
Gavin Massey has got some serious skill. He is on fire.
Baller. Hashtag baller.
Yeah, man like Gav, apparently. Spirit in the team is so much better under Danny than it was. Don't know why Andy couldn't get that sort of team spirit, but whatever Danny Webb has done in that change room in such a short space of time, kudos to you, my friend.
And that's reflecting on the crowd as well. That's definitely reflecting on the crowd. Yeah, better atmosphere all round, which is great. So negatives, got a few more this week. So firstly, losing to relegation rivals, so obviously that's County pulled away a little bit. Not clinical in either box, which I agree with yet. Lack of options on the bench due to injuries and suspensions. I mean, they're building up. It's happening. The Cizek situation, growing more unnoted now. I think people have just accepted it.
Yeah.
But still a bit of a negative. Still in relegation places, although hopefully this time next week, hopefully it will change. And the teams around us playing well too. So,
unfortunately.
You know, like we just said, Hartlepool picked up a point. Cheltenham got the win.
Cheltenham signed loads in the transfer window, though, to be fair.
So, hero of the week.
Yeah, unanimous. I think
there's only ever going to be one this week, isn't there?
Gavin Massey, well done.
Man like Gav. So next week's fixtures in. Okay, you get going. You crack on with the
cool
fixtures.
Just the one fixture coming up is we've got relegation rivals Cheltenham at home on Saturday the 26th of February. Cheltenham are currently 21st in League 2, having beaten Yeovil 2-0 at home on Saturday. And if we win by 3 goals, we will leapfrog them in the table. So it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
No odds on there. They've cross all your fingers and your toes and whatever else you cross and make sure we get 3 points out of that.
Yeah, hopefully make another cracking atmosphere. So just over the hour this week, but 2 matches and loads of tweets and loads of things to talk about. So that's not too bad. So thanks for joining us for episode 95. It's been another crazy week, both on and off the pitch. Tuesday, we've got a dramatic 3-2 win, and we had Matt talk about that, so we hope you enjoy that. What was probably the performance of the season, I guarantee so when all of the end of season polls come out, Plymouth away will be the one to look out for. Great to see the hope and the passion. So many O's fans still all there for everyone to see through Twitter and through, you know, the pictures also that we saw back in the stadium. Then in the days that followed, heard all about the ball boy scandal, which eventually resulted in a 6-game ban for Liam Kelly. You know, he's already been missed yesterday, been missed for the next 5. And then yesterday, obviously, disappointing defeat to Kevin Nolan's Notts County after coming back from 2 goals down. So, like we said, not all doom and gloom. You know, one thing you can't question though at the moment is this team's commitment and their hunger and their desire and their will to play and fight for Danny and for us fans. And if we keep this up for the rest of the season, then hopefully things will start turning around sooner rather than later. And if they don't, we'll all still be here anyways, reporting on it every week. So we'll be back with episode 96 next week with all the information and views that you could ever need. And we look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's and keep the faith.